good morning to you. You know, sometimes it's nice to remind people that all you got to do to give is just a text to 84321. That's the number. Just text 84321 and the amount that you'd like to give. And it's just that easy. And you can put your information in there and do that. Or one of the other ways on there on the app, on the website, firstforchrist.com, just up in the right-hand corner, just push give. And you can do it that way. We have a giving kiosk out there in the back. Anybody use that yet? It's pretty cool. I actually did it this morning. I had a situation with my credit card this past week, and they had to issue me a new one. And so I had to update that, and I hadn't done it yet. So this morning I got here, and I just swiped my card back there and gave that way. So you can do it that way. Of course, there's boxes at all the doors as you come in and as you leave, and you can give that way as well. So take advantage of one of those ways, and let's be generous with the Lord. Today we're going to talk about stewardship. You know, how's your stewardship? And I thought a good way to begin this morning would be to give you some of the numbers associated with the Super Bowl. It's kind of eye-opening when you think about these numbers with the Super Bowl. For example, did you know that that people will bet $7.6 billion on this game today? That's legal betting, okay? That doesn't include the $10 bet I have with my wife. Not really, but $7.6 million. Did you know that the stadium, by the way, the SoFi Stadium there that they're playing in California, it's only the second time in the modern era that the home team has hosted the Super Bowl in their stadium. By the way, it's the most expensive sporting venue ever built, $5.5 billion. Only the second time that a team has hosted the Super Bowl in their home stadium. You know when the other one was? Last year with Tampa Bay. So it's amazing. How about this number? $1.42 billion is the number of chicken wings that we're going to eat today in America. Okay, that's a lot of poor little chickens that can't fly now. Or how about this one? 117 million is the number of U.S. viewers expected on the television broadcast. 67 million pounds of avocados, most of which will be made into guacamole today for the game. And how about this one? I actually was at Tom and Joe's this morning with a friend after our prayer time. And I said to George, the owner of Tom and Joe's, I said, "You got your Super Bowl ad ready to go today?" And he's like, "No." I said, "Well, it would only cost you $7 million for a 30-second commercial. A new record in that as well. $4.5 million is the amount of money that one man, Mattress Jack, Roxanne." She's the one that taught me who that was. Mattress Jack bet $4.5 million. He wagered on the game through a betting app, just simply for the Bengals to win. So pay attention and realize that you need to make your mattress purchase today because it may be going up tomorrow if the Rams win. How about this one? $230,401 paid for one Super Bowl ring in 2012 by Lawrence Taylor. You know, they do these big gaudy rings every time. And there's a lot of other numbers associated with that, but it's just astronomical how this goes. I remember, I don't know how long ago it was, but I remember when it became that the commercials were $1 million. And it's like, oh my goodness, $1 million. And now it's $7 million for one 30-second ad during the television broadcast. Okay, with those numbers, let's transition to talking about stewardship. Okay? I think it's a good thing to do. You know, as you start thinking about being a steward and what it means to be a steward, I always think back, Arlene and I, over the last number of years, we've enjoyed cruising and going down into the Caribbean. Arlene won a cruise like 12 years ago, and it was, you know, we've been doing it ever since. But one of the things, if you've ever been on a cruise, you know that you have a room steward that's just yours. And usually when you get on the ship, they come and introduce themselves to you. They remember your name. They take such good care of you, you know, what you need, what you want. So much so that one night, I got up about 1 o'clock in the morning and went to the bathroom. And when I came back, my side of the bed was made with a piece of chocolate on the pillow. Okay? These room stewards, they're really not necessarily a room steward. They're a person steward. Because their job description is that they are to take care of you. And they are to see to your needs. And like anything in life, sometimes some are better than others. You know, usually what I would always do is I would send Arlene in first with her Southern Belle charm. And let her meet the room steward, and they usually took care of us a whole lot better if she was the first one that they met, right? We like it when someone is taking care of us. You know, I was looking about this whole idea about steward and being a steward. A steward is a person who cares for things that are put before them. Stewardship is the job that you do in taking care of those things. Some of the synonyms for stewardship are things like administration and care and charge and control and direction and governance and guidance and handling and management and operation and oversight and regulation and running and superintendent, supervision. You know, this kind of general leadership that we see that is in front of us that we need to be paying attention to in life. So let's ask ourselves this morning, what is a steward? And do we understand how important this is? Because a steward is not an owner. A steward is one that is entrusted with something or someone or someone's care. I remember my daughter, Kristen, she loves to tell the story that years ago here in Altoona, she was with me and I had to go to a hospital to visit someone, and she was just a young, you know, I don't remember how old she was, but she was in very, you know, very much a low grade in school. And I took her in with me, and I took her to the gift shop, and I said, honey, you look around in here for a few minutes, and I'm going to go up, and I'm going to see somebody and visit with them, and I'll come back down, and we'll be on our way. And she had no problem with that, so I left her at the gift shop, and I went up and did my thing, and I came back down, and she wasn't in the gift shop, but she wasn't missing. I found her very quickly sitting out in the lobby, and she was crying. And I said to her, I said, honey, what in the world is the matter? And she said, Dad, you left me there all by myself. And the lady kicked me out of the gift shop. I felt so bad because I'd left her there. I thought she was going to be safe. I thought she was going to be happy. You know, I said, honey, just look at the chewing gum for a few minutes. Daddy will be back. And evidently whoever was in there, by the way, it was not Betty Neville. I know she did this. Is Betty here? This, there she is. Betty did this for a long, long time up there, but it wasn't her. But whoever was in the gift shop that morning, they told her that you can't hang out in the gift shop, and they kind of kicked her out. Now, Kristen has loved to tell that story over the years, but it's really grown in my delinquency as the years has passed. You know, I tell that one way, and she tells it another way, how I abandoned her and I put her in harm's way, and how, you know, she thought, you know, what was, you know, all these kinds of terrible things. But here's the thing. When you're talking about what is a steward, you have to understand that what it means is that God has given something into your hands that you need to take care of. And it's not just money. So many times, and we're going to look at a passage here in a minute in Matthew 25 that talks about money. But it's not just money. God has made us stewards of a lot of things. Stewardship of what? Think about that. In the beginning, it says that God created the heavens and the earth, and he looked at everything that he made, and he said that it was good. And then he gave it into the hands of Adam and Eve, and he said, subdue it. Care for it. Be a steward of it. Wasn't too long that after that time and after the fall of man and Adam and Eve had a couple of kids and you know, God gives us children, and what does he say? He said, I'm giving these children into your hands, and they're our responsibility. You know, we're to care for them. That's being a steward. Anytime you talk about, last week we talked about work, and before that we talked about relationships, and in light of that, those are issues of stewardship as well. Now it's interesting because when you come to Matthew chapter 25, in verse number let me give you the gist of it at first. You have this parable that Jesus tells. It's called the parable of the talents. And in older versions, it talks about the talents. Talent, a talent in Jesus' day was actually a particular sum of money. In newer translations, in this word, and in the NIV that we're going to read here in a few minutes, it refers to bags of gold. I don't know, for some reason that sounds better than talents, doesn't it? You know, I'd rather God give me five bags of gold rather than five talents, right? A lot of times people misunderstand and think that what he's referring here to is talents, abilities, and gifts, and that's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about things that he gave to these individuals for them to invest. Isn't that interesting that in this particular context, in this parable, the idea of being a steward was being a good investor and getting a return for the things that God has given to us each and every day. Matter of fact, look at what it says in verse number 14. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. But notice here that he says that he entrusted his wealth to them. I think that it's really interesting to understand that in reality, what God is calling us to do, to be a steward, he has entrusted his creation to us. He has entrusted everything that is important to him into our hands. Now let me tell you something, folks. When somebody entrusts something of great importance into your care, there's no greater compliment that can be given. And realize and understand what God has given to you to be a steward of: his creation, the hearts and minds of other people, the wealth and talents that we have in our lives, and everything that God has entrusted to us. We should see that as two things. Number one, a tremendous opportunity, and also a tremendous challenge. Let me give you an illustration here that'll help you with this. Ladies, you'll understand this. I remember when we had our first child, and Sarah was only, I don't know, a couple of weeks old, and Arlene had made a commitment to speak at some ladies' event or retreat or something, and she was going to cancel because we'd had this baby. And I said, honey, I can handle this. I mean, there's only one part of this that I really can't do, and there's other things we can do to make that okay, if you know what I mean. And we did. And I said, honey, you go ahead. Don't you worry about it. Don't think about it one time. You know, I've got this. You know, it'll be okay. And it was. Much to your surprise and mine, it was. But you know, the thing about it is, when we understand the great opportunity and also the great blessing that it is to have something entrusted to you, then we really should make sure that we not only do our best, but we understand really what God has placed in our hands. So it says the master gives to one servant 5 talents, 5 bags of gold. To another, he gives 2 talents or 2 bags of gold. And to one, the third one, he gives to 1 talent and to 1 bag of gold. You know, first of all, to the one that much is given, much will be required. I wonder how much of this distribution had to do with God's knowledge. You know, that I'm going to give this one 5 because they're worthy of 5. And I'm going to give this one down here 1 because I'm not so sure how good he's going to do. He wants us to do well. He gives us everything that we need to accomplish and to do well. But I wonder how much of this distribution was based on God's knowledge and foreknowledge and understanding of these individuals. But see, regardless of what we feel like God has entrusted to us, we need to understand that there's really 2 things. Number one, there's what He gives us. And then there's number 2, what we do with it. And everybody gets God's blessings. You know, no one is exempt from that. I mean, it's one thing to understand what God gives us, but really our energy needs to be focused on what we do with it. You know, for example, in our class 101, we talk about the vision of First Church, and one of the things that we mention in the vision of First Church is to have a facility that facilitates ministry. And sometimes when I think about this building and how it's used. See, for some of you, when you're here on Sunday morning, this is what you think about what happens here. But you know what, folks? There's not one day out of the week where this entire building is not used in some way for the ministry and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Yesterday I was driving by after we had a meeting here, and I thought, man, something's going on over at the church. And I thought, what is that? And I drove over, and I actually came in the back door. And as soon as I came in the back door, I glanced over into the cafe, and it was just full of these ladies, and they just were having this wonderful time. And I snuck back out the door, you know. And we had this, what was it called? Huh? Yeah, the Galentine, which I thought was pretty cool. We had a Galentine here yesterday, and man, they looked like they were having such a great time. On during the week, I come over a couple times a week, and I stand downstairs as all the people bring their little kids into the preschool, and I talk to the parents, and you know I Google with the kids a little bit, and it's so much fun. And then I walk away, and I just think, man, that is just awesome. you know, and I think about, you know, the work that the good people do down there. And I walk by the room and I look in, and there's like 17 little 3-year-old kids sitting in the floor, and they're all listening. How's that done? I mean, I don't have the ability to do that. And then you walk over to the gym, and these little kids are just playing and running and here and there. And on Wednesday night you come, and every room in the building is used for ministry of some kind. And then there's people all the time that are calling, can I use this room? Can I use that room? Could I have this party there? And the answer is always yes, if it's available. It's amazing. But here's the thing, folks. That's what's cool about stewardship. Because stewardship should never be silent. Something should be going on. Something should be happening. You see, so often we always just think of stewardship about money and how we use our money and what we spend our money on. But it's about so much more. It's about what God gives us, but it's also about what we do with what God gives us. Because if you read this wonderful parable, later on in Matthew chapter 25, it says that the master returned and settled accounts. The master returned and settled accounts. Two things. Number one, understand that there will be a day of reckoning. Number two, that God keeps really close tabs on what He's given you, what He's given us, what we are stewards of in this world. And there will be an accounting of what God has given to us. Now notice the three people that God entrusted here with these talents, with these bags of gold. The first one He gave five. And the settling was is that he came and he had doubled it. He had five more. And the master's word to this servant was what? Well done. Well done, my good, my faithful servant. And then to the one that he had given two, he had doubled it. And the master said, well done, my good, my faithful servant. And then to the third one, the master said, I knew that you, or the servant said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And the master said in verse 26, you wicked, you lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I do not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received back with interest. So take back the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever he has given will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So here's the thing, folks. What have you done with what God has entrusted you? Because it will not be good enough for us to return to Him only what He has given to us. The word here is more. God wants more. You know, that's why I think Christians should be the greatest stewards of creation that there ever could be. You know, sometimes we kind of speak against the environmentalist movement and things like that. But in reality, we should be the best stewards that there could be of all that God has given to us. Now, personally, I think an internally combustion engine is part of that. Don't you? Right? But God does want us to be good stewards. He wants us to love what He has given us. And he wants us to love it so much that it is increased. And you see, folks, I think so often we do like this wicked servant, and we're so scared and we're so fearful that we just hang on to what we have, hoping to not lose it. And we really don't do very much with what God has given to us. You know, a few years ago, we had a conversation in a leadership meeting here that I thought was really interesting. And we basically came to the conclusion that God's people don't give money in order for us to put it in a bank and hoard it. But that God's people gives money to ministries so that it can be used to further the kingdom of God. Therefore, if you were to see the bottom line of First Church of Christ, you would see that, yeah, there's some money in there because you've got to have some cash flow to do the things that we do here. But there's not an abundance amount of money that's just sitting around not doing anything. Because that's not what you should do. You should invest it. You should invest it in people. You should invest it in things. You should invest it in your facility. You should invest it in missions. And I think all of these things are exactly that. They are investments. With the understanding that one day the master will return and accounts will be settled. And the word will be all about more. Not the status quo, not hanging on and not losing it all. It will be about more. A few weeks ago, maybe some of you saw this, it was on my birthday, I put a thing on Facebook and I said, I would like to raise money for my mother, Helen Thompson Collins, and for her scholarship at Johnson University. Over 20 years ago, when my mother died, my siblings and I, we established a scholarship fund at Johnson University in memory of my mother. And that scholarship every year goes to a student that's there in college full time that is planning to go into overseas missions. And every year I get a couple of thank you cards from some student that has benefited from that. Over the years, that scholarship has raised thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And every year there's a student that has benefited greatly from that. And just 2 weeks ago on my birthday, there was $1,125 given into that scholarship fund. And you know what I say? Thank you. Because one day the master will return and he will settle accounts. And it's going to be a wonderful thing if we have this idea of more. Serve more. Save more. Spend more, invest more, and be blessed more because of having that kind of understanding about stewardship. You know, let me end by asking you this. What do you want to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh my goodness, I hope none of us here today hear Jesus say, "You wicked and you lazy servant." I think what Jesus, or the master, did here when he took away from this servant, I don't think that hurt nearly as much as hearing the master say, "You're wicked and you're lazy." I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the way that we receive that rather than the former is by always having the goal of more. Let's pray. Father, may that word be on our minds and hearts today. More. More, Lord, for you. We don't pray for more for us, but we do pray for your blessing. And Lord, as we receive more through faithfulness and through your blessing, may then it always be about more. Lord, may it never be about remaining the same, about not losing what we have. Lord, may we not be led by fear, by trepidation. But Lord, by faith and assurance, may we invest, Lord, in your kingdom and in people and in things, Lord, that bring blessing and honor and glory to you. Because, Father, that's what it means to be a steward. That, Lord, we are a steward of so much. We are a steward of creation. We are a steward of things. But, Lord, we're also a steward of your word, of your witness, of your spirit. And God, I pray that how we treat all of that, Lord, will be defined by our stewardship and by how important this subject is in our lives. God, I know right now that I'm talking to some people. Some people are listening to my voice who need to repent, because they've been holding back. Holding back of being a good steward of the world and creation and the things that you've given us, but also, Lord, holding back from blessing others, Lord, with things that we've been blessed with. So, God, I pray that right now for those of us that have struggled with that, Lord, that we would say it's okay to think about more. It's okay for wanting more. It's okay to expect more. And it's okay, Lord, for your blessings to come back tenfold, a hundredfold. And then, Lord, for us to reinvest that back into the kingdom of God. Lord, may it happen over and over and over again in our lives daily as we live for you. Father, may we not only understand what a steward is, but may we understand that we are stewards. And there will come a day of reckoning when accounts will be settled. And Lord, may we be prepared for that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.